here. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
be good. Mike, no sound on YouTube, but according to my wife, who made the long journey down the million-dollar staircase like Donald Trump has down into my multi-million. She's on my website, said there's no sound. Mike just fixed it, sweetie. See? What took you so long? I yelled at her. That's what y'all guys think I do anyway, right? Yell at my wife and run around boss her. And boy, no sound. You guys just missed that rant.
I heard you, Coach.
Oh, man. Well, hey, listen to the replay. If you just picked up sound now, go back to our website, CoachDaveLive.com, and listen to that rant was pretty good. That's pretty good. So, hey, listen, Mike, go real quickly to our schedule because I want to talk about this before I get too far down this rabbit trail. I got something really good for us today, I think. I think it is really good. But our huddles are up and running again, man. I love it. And I love, hey, folks, we're making a difference. You know we are. We're making a difference. We're making a difference in the body of Christ. You know why? Because each one of you little guys, whether you know it or not, you've become saltier than you were before. And you're becoming salty, even more salty. You're spreading the salt. And people are beginning to awaken a little bit. We are making a difference. I've been doing this daily grind for almost 4.5 years. We've seen some fruit from it. Kentucky Salt and Light Brigade this weekend. If you live down in Kentucky, Southern Ohio, Tennessee, I don't know what other area, there's a Salt and Light Brigade assembly, Veterans Memorial Park this weekend down in Kentucky. If that's you and you're interested on it, then go ahead and click. All the information is there. You want to plug in? Listen, some of you are watching right now and you say, I've never been to one of these. I don't know anybody. Well, come and meet people. Get plugged in. These are salt of the earth people that you may need down the road. Who's no sound on YouTube? No sound. Yeah, it's up, Kevin. Yeah, it's up, Matt. Thanks. They're up. Hate YouTube anyway. They'll probably ban us for that. And also then this weekend, we are having a Salt Light Brigade assembly, a huddle here in Ohio. Bob and Tammy, who put up the cross, which still up there, Bob. We're having one in Lisbon, Ohio, which is up northern Ohio. So if you're in western PA or northern Ohio, or maybe even Michigan or something, come on, man, come and join us. And it's all the information's there, August 29th, 10 a.m. till the next day. All the information you need is right there this weekend, okay? Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday. And then next weekend, September 4th, is Jamie Walden's Warrior Summit. Some of us are going to go to be part of that event. That's next weekend in Missouri. Now, some of them, Michelle, don't remind me to get the van fixed. Some of them are meeting here. We're riding out together out there, and we had a blowout, bent the rim on one of my tires. I got to get that thing fixed up. So, anyway, September 4th, next weekend, okay? Next weekend. If you can make it there, do it. September 11th, we're having Rob Pugh is hosting an emergency preparedness and tactical training event in Wisconsin. You say, well, Coach, I live in Michigan. We'll drive around the lake. Drive around the lake and get over there. I live in Minnesota. Well, drive across. That'd be a good reason to go to Wisconsin. Well, I guess Wisconsin's where Kenosha is, right? You notice how they're squeezing it all up there and there's something going on up through there. Anyway, September 11th and 12th, Rob Pugh is having a tactical training event. You have to register for it. And if you do register, it goes to our website. So don't be confused if the registration takes you to our website. It's just easy for us to set it up that way. But that's September 11th and 12th in Wausau, Wisconsin. Slide on down, Mike, because, hey, this is till COVID strikes us again, right? Till COVID hits us again. Then we're having a Salt and Light Brigade huddle down in North Carolina. Mayberry, Andy Griffith, Barney Fife, Ain't B. That's September 19th. Those of you down in the southern part of the coast of America, come and join us. All the information is there. So I don't know anybody. I've never been to one of these. And I hear you guys are a cult. Then stay home. What? You want to get involved? Come and join us. Look at Barney's. Barney's, man, I didn't know you guys were doing all this stuff. And then Goober saying, Shazam, Andy. All that'll be down there in, where is that? North Carolina? Mayberry? Pennsylvania boot camp, September 25th. Where? Why, Gettysburg. More information there. In fact, we're updating this even as we go. A lot of information. Just mark it on your calendar. October 2nd, tactical training back at Sky High. We're going to do guns. We're going to do, my brain went dead. Stephanie's coming in. Tom Dunn's coming in. We're going to do some spiritual. We're going to do some spiritual warfare training as well. On the demonic realm, how the demonic realm operates. Yes, we might even lay some hands on people and deliver them. Oh, yeah, we might do that. That's tactical training at Sky High. That's October 2nd and 3rd. Limited edition, limited number of people. We are going to charge a fee because we lost money last time. All right? Bring your own weapon, whatever you want to shoot. We're going to focus mainly on pistols and shotguns. Is that right, Chad? Am I speaking out of turn there, Chad? Oh, by the way, I've missed Chad September 25th, Salt and Light Brigade down there at the Estes Ranch. That's down there. You can get involved with that. Chad, did I miss anything on the tactical training? Bring your own ammo, bring your own gun, but it's basically shotguns and pistols, right?
That's fine. Yes, sir.
Anything you want to add there, bud? Hey, folks, listen. Ammo costs money. And we really, really love you. But we don't want you coming shooting up our ammo because we run out of ammo and ammo is hard to get. Bring your own ammo. Maybe limited. Say, I'm only going to shoot 25. I'm only going to shoot a box. I'm only going to shoot two boxes. Whatever. That's up to you. But bring your own ammo. You can slay. Yes, we will have access to the entire Sky High building, all that stuff. So more details to follow. Cool. Questions about anything that I just said or anything to add to it? By the way, let me throw this out here. Why were you guys so quiet with Jack Cascio yesterday? I thought, you know, these guys aren't even asking any questions. I couldn't even figure out. Hey, Michelle, I need my electric card.
And hey, Coach.
Hang on a minute. Hang on, Denny. Because I get paranoid. I think they're not enjoying the guest. What's going on? Why aren't they asking? And then as soon as we went off the show, then all of a sudden we were bombarded in the queue with all these people asking Jack questions. What was that all about? Go ahead, Denny.
Well, it was too bad I wasn't on yesterday. But it's good because I would have been typing all kinds of crazy stuff in the chat anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. So even the old coach, I usually know when we have a pretty good show. I thought we had a pretty good show, and I couldn't get you guys to bark. Nobody out there would bark. Couldn't figure that one out. So when I say to you, hey, somebody come on in, that's an invitation for somebody to come on in. Once the show was over, then everybody had questions they wanted to ask.
Hey, Coach, I think they just wanted to hear what Jack had to say.
I think so. Jack surprised me when he said he thought 911 was on the up and up. Did you hear me, Michelle? I'm going to lose my power. I boss my wife around a lot. You all now know it. I really, really do. She's way upside in our dungeon that we live in up here. Well, I'm here in this multi-million-dollar studio. I don't have any power. I'm going to lose it here on my computer. All right. Cool. Anybody good at the group before I move on? Because yesterday we didn't do much Bible, did we? Didn't do much Bible. Apologize for that. We're always bringing the Bible in, always trying to bring it in. Maybe I need to see now. My wife maybe she left me. She isn't getting my cord. I may have to bear with me a second. I'm going to have to go to something. Oh, there she comes. She always here, honey. Plug this in for me here. I'm going to bear with me here, folks. I've got to get off camera. Hey, honey, you forgot the other part of it. She got to run back up.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir. Come on in.
I felt yesterday was the biggest waste of time I've ever experienced.
Well, good, Joe. Why?
The Lord was nowhere in there.
No. Yeah.
No.
That is
okay.
True. Yeah.
And to me, it just seemed like this became a man-oriented lack of God. We got a solution for everything. Let's expose everything that we can and get it fixed. And basically, God doesn't exist. I was really angry.
Well, good. I mean, good that you tell me that now.
Coach.
Well, if I'd have told you when the show was on, you'd have bleeped me and kicked me out.
No, I wouldn't.
Don't forget. Don't forget. I'm an ex-submarine sailor. We're the top dogs when it comes to cussing and stuff like that. I mean, I was angry.
Hey, Coach. I think what impressed me yesterday, or didn't impress me, was the total lack of follow-up action plan to make things better. All the information in the world is totally useless without a plan to change the playing field.
Amen, Larry.
Yep. Well, he's an investigative reporter. I don't want to beat up on Jack while he's not here. He's an investigative reporter, right? I brought him in because he's an investigative reporter, not because he's a spiritual leader in any semblance of it. So, thanks for being honest. So let's move on today. Joe, I don't start cussing like a sailor, Joe. They say that, you know, people cuss like sailors, so don't do that. I want to show you something today that, there's always a lot of good stuff going on. I don't like Abby Johnson. I'll make that clear. Abby Johnson spoke at the Republican convention. I haven't been watching the Republican convention, by the way. I haven't been watching it. I watched clips of it. I saw Nick Sandman yesterday. I've seen some Herschel Walker. I thought was really good little clips. But I'm not going to sit down and watch Fox News. Go to Juan Williams. Let Juan Williams talk. Give you his opinion. And I ain't going to do that. Right? I don't have time for that. But Abby Johnson, who again, she's the Planned Parenthood girl. And a lot of people in the pro-life movement have a lot of problems with Abby Johnson. She doesn't believe in the pictures. She doesn't believe in being outside and demonstrating against all that stuff, the graphic pictures. So there's fighting within the pro-life movement. I don't know if you know that or not. A lot of fighting goes on. We don't like the way they do it, and they don't like the way we do it, and we spend all of our time arguing against each other because of the way we do it. So I'm putting right up front, I will work with Abby Johnson, but she's not one of my, she's just not one of my favorites. $10,000 a speech. I understand for her. But I'm going to tell you something. I watched this before I went to bed last night. In fact, it impacted me so much that I played it for my wife who was laying beside me. I elbowed her, said, hey, sit up here. Because I yell at her a lot. I rule my house. And I said, sit up here. And watch this. And she did. This is 4 minutes, folks. 4 minutes and 50 seconds. You are going to hear her say things. Let me stop a minute. Even though this is the entire Republican convention is very, very orchestrated, biased. It's a production, right? I'm going to tell you. What you are seeing on this Republican National Committee convention is the truth without having to go through the filters of CNN and MSNBC. They're talking about issues that the average person, if they were watching the news, would never hear. So I want to tip my hat to whoever is behind the scenes orchestrating this whole thing at the convention, because I want you to listen. Abby Johnson, I almost couldn't go to sleep. Because she's going to say in this 4 minute 50 second clip that abortion has a smell. Now, I don't know what you guys think. You talk about a word picture planted in the minds of American citizens. Abortion has a smell. This 4 minutes and 50 seconds did untold damage to anyone who was sitting on the pro-life fence. I give credit where credit is due. Abby Johnson knocked it out of the park. Jared, I think you can play this, or Mike, maybe you can play this at 1.5, so it won't take us quite 4 minutes. But I want you to listen to the truth that she speaks. That you ain't never going to hear. You're not going to hear it in church. You're not going to hear it in You're just not going to hear it. Go ahead and play it, Jim. All right, Mike.
I spent 8 years working for Planned Parenthood, but today I'm a pro-life activist. When I was in college, Planned Parenthood approached me at a volunteer fair. They talked about helping women in crisis and their commitment to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. I was convinced to volunteer and later offered a full-time job as a medical assistant before my promotion to director of the clinic. I truly believed I was helping women, but things drastically changed in 2009. In April, I was awarded Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award and invited to their annual gala where they present the Margaret Sanger Award, named for their founder. Now, Margaret Sanger was a racist who believed in eugenics. Her goal when founding Planned Parenthood was to eradicate the minority population. Today, almost 80% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are strategically located in minority neighborhoods. And every year, Planned Parenthood celebrates its racist roots by presenting the Margaret Sanger Award. Later in August, my supervisor assigned me a new quota to meet, an abortion quota. I was expected to sell double the abortions performed the previous year. When I pushed back, underscoring Planned Parenthood's public-facing goal of decreasing abortions, I was reprimanded and told, abortion is how we make our money. But the tipping point came a month later when a physician asked me to assist with an ultrasound-guided abortion. Nothing prepared me for what I saw on the screen.
Mike, slow
an unborn
down
baby
now, Mike.
Fighting back, Mike. Desperate.
Slow this down, Mike, for the last part of this. She saw
to move away from the suction. And I'll never forget what the doctor said next. Beam me up, Scotty. The last thing I saw was a spine twirling around in the mother's womb before succumbing to the force of the suction. On October 6th, I left the clinic, looking back only to remember why I now advocate so passionately for life. I founded and currently run And Then There Were None, a nonprofit organization that's helped nearly 600 abortion workers transition out of the industry. For most people who consider themselves pro-life, abortion is abstract. They can't even conceive of the barbarity. They don't know about the products of conception room and abortion clinics where infant corpses are pieced back together to ensure nothing remains in the mother's wombs, or that we joked and called it the pieces of children room. You see, for me, abortion is real. I know what it sounds like. I know what abortion smells like. Did you know abortion even had a smell? I've been the perpetrator to these babies, to these women. And I now support President Trump because he has done more for the unborn than any other president. During his first month in office, he banned federal funds for global health groups that promote abortion. That same year, he overturned an Obama-Biden rule that allowed government subsidy of abortion. He appointed a record number of pro-life judges, including two Supreme Court justices. And importantly, he announced a new rule protecting the rights of healthcare workers objecting to abortion, many of whom I work with every day. Life is a core tenet of who we are as Americans. And this election is a choice between two radical anti-life activists and the most pro-life president we have ever had. That's something that should compel you to action. Go door to door, make calls, talk to your neighbors and friends, and vote on November 3rd, take action that reelects our president and do it with our very most vulnerable Americans in mind, the ones who haven't been born yet.
Hey, NBC News viewers.
Yeah. Huh? Okay, now tell me something. Why would that not propel thousands of pastors to stand in their pulpits? Number one, play that video. Abortion has a smell. The wickedness of in the ultrasound watching the baby try to scramble away from the suction. Why are we as Christians so hesitant to tell the graphic details of what goes on in an abortion? I'd love to hear from you. What do you think? Why won't the churches do it?
That's dead on. Abortion is evil. Life begins at conception. It's very simple.
Why don't churches make it a focus of the election? Why don't they do it?
501c3 crap. It's a
Nah. I don't believe that.
Well, that's true, right? It's an excuse, not a reason.
That's right. That's right.
Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
The lady on Fox News said it this morning. The Fox and Friends, what's her name? And she's Christian, does them Christian little things she does. And our Christian friends, she said, all my friends called me last night and said, I had to mute that. I could not listen to that.
Didn't want to see it, right? Didn't want to see it. So like making sausage, right? What have we made abortion in the American church? What have we made it? What have we made it? What is abortion in the American church? What is it? Yeah, Joe.
The sausage man.
The truth hurts. The truth is loud.
Boy, that's it is, Joe. Muted. Joe, did you ever think of abortion having a smell? Wow.
I never comprehended that till now, but I can imagine what it's like.
Right? Right? It's real. It's the real murder of a human being.
Well, Dave, I would contend that all these types of innocent death, or everything has a certain odor on it, you know, dogs and stuff they can smell. And this is why the old nursery fable, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Wow. Okay, because that has a sound, and also has a sound.
Excellent, Chad.
Wow. It's really deep, isn't it, huh? What Chad just said, it is really, listen, as I said, I'm not going to shoot the messenger. Abby Johnson, despite whether you like her or not, she did a great service last night. Somebody had some cojones to give her the permission to be able. You think that thing wasn't vetted? You think the Trump administration didn't vet that? And I tell everybody who will listen to me that I became all in for Donald Trump when in the second debate with Hillary Clinton, he talked about ripping the baby out of the mother's womb. I could not believe what I'd heard. I never heard George W. Bush say that. Never heard Poppy Bush say it. Ripping the baby out of the mother's womb. I never heard anything like ever from a presidential candidate. And as long as we want to sanitize this evil, sanitize what's going on, then this is never going to go away. When we allow this to remain in the back alleys, now, hey, Planned Parenthood's back alley. Why is it a back alley? Because it's secret, right? It's secret what goes on inside those things. And as long as we allow that procedure to go on in secret, we're never going to get victory over it. So I think it was a powerful moment. Somebody else, and I got something else I want to show you.
Yeah, Coach, the church doesn't want to offend anybody by bringing it up.
Right.
They don't want to offend anybody because they'll know people that did it.
That's right. But isn't that what the gospel is about, though, Brian?
Yeah.
Forgiveness. I did it. I was wrong. And stop it. Don't let anybody else do it. I was wrong. I made a mistake. Right?
There's supposed this thing to set up, the standard.
Michelle is kind of involved with this organization called Surrender the Secret, meaning trying to bring deliverance to women who have had abortions and are suffering in secret because of it. The church of all places ought to be bringing liberty to sinners. That's the whole thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It delivers us from our sins, confessed sins, right? And women are in churches harboring their sin, ashamed to tell anybody. What could be more wicked than killing your own baby? They are buried in shame, and the pastors won't peel back the onion and help them get deliverance.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Most churches' pulpits won't even touch sexual immorality. That's where it starts. Yes, they won't even touch pornography. They won't touch fornication. They won't touch adultery. Don't even never speak about it. And abortion is the fruit of all of it.
It is, brother. It is. It's the fruit of all of it. So I want to talk to you today, if we have a Bible lesson, if there is such a thing. Hey, Mike, I want you to bring up Numbers 25 because I want to talk to you today about Phineas. Anybody know who Phineas is? You guys out there know who Phineas is? Sort of we do. And I have to be honest with you. As I've been doing my research, I knew what Phineas did, but I didn't really know much about Phineas. But I want you to see something here that I think is really, really important and pertinent to what we've been talking about here today. Mike, you pulled that up the way I told you to. Maybe, Mike, we need to pull up first. This is from the this is from a Jewish website, okay, folks? A Jewish website called the Chabad. Pull that one up, Mike, if you can. I think the name of it is, let me make sure we're on the same page. Yes, Phineas the Zealot of the Bible. And it gives us a little bit of history of who Phineas was. But Mike, I want you to scroll down because I want you guys to understand that Phineas is greatly honored in the Bible. It talks about Phineas's lineage, the story of Phineas the Zealot. Phineas, slide on down because where was I wanted to go someplace. An exception. This would be worth a read if you want to read it. But do you guys know what Phineas's zealotry really was? What Phineas actually did? Scroll on down, Mike. I'm not real prepared. I got something on this I wanted everybody to see. Like now I can't remember what it was. Do you guys know what Phineas did? Phineas and his disciples. This is all about Phineas and the priesthood of Phineas and all that stuff and Elijah. Well, Mike, guess I'm missing. I'm sorry I pulled that up because I went right by. Bring the other one up, Mike. bring the one up, the story of Phineas. Phineas brought deliverance to his people. That's not the one I want, Mike. That's okay. Bring up Numbers 25. And here's the story of Phineas. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughter of Moab. In other words, not just sex outside of marriage, but sex outside of their race, the Jews. It was a sin. It was a crime to have for a Jew to have sex with someone outside the Jewish lineage. You follow me here? So they're all mad about it because there was whoredom going on with the daughters of Moab. They were non-Jews. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat, and they bowed down to their gods. And Israel, Jews, joined himself unto Baal Peor. In other words, another non-Jewish, adulterous relationship. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against America. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't say America. It says it against Israel, against America. So the Lord's mad, and he says unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. He's telling Moses, chop off their stinking heads, these adulterers, and hang them in town so everybody understands this is what happens. I'm talking abortion, okay? And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one of those in our family who are hooking up with this adulterous group of people. You with me? It's right out of the Bible. I'm not making anything untrue here. And behold, as that order goes out, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So Moses has sent out a decree, stop doing this. People are going to die over this. We're going to cut off people's heads. And some dude says, oh yeah. He grabs him a woman and he parades her right in front of Moses and the congregation. Mocking God, mocking Moses, mocking their heritage, mocking everything. And when Phineas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, when he saw it, when he saw this Midianite woman brought into their midst, he rose up from among the congregation and he grabbed a javelin. Get this picture. Wow. And he went after that man of Israel and he followed him into his tent and he caught him in there doing the dirty deed. And Phinehas thrust both of them through the men of Israel and the woman through her belly. Watch. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in that plague were 24,000. The judgment of God fell upon the people, costing the lives of 24,000 people. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said this, "Hey, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, he has turned my wrath away from the people. While he was zealous for my sake among them, because Phinehas didn't care what the government said. He didn't care what anybody else said. He was tired of watching God be mocked. He was zealous for my sake among them. And because of that, I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Instead, I gave unto him my covenant of peace." To who? To Phinehas. Why? Because he shall have it, and his seed after him, and even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Why? Because he was zealous for his God, and he made an atonement for the children of Israel. Now, friends, how do you balance what you're reading right here with the modern American gospel? We just heard what Abby Johnson said. Abortion has a smell. How do the modern American churches take the example of Phinehas, who was clearly honored and blessed by God for what he did, and apply it to what we see in a modern American Christianity? I don't have an answer. Anybody have an answer? Come on in.
I don't, maybe not the answer, but I've got a connection. In Isaiah chapter 3, starting at verse 16, it says, let me get it here. It says that, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet." Now that's Isaiah introduces this section with that statement. And then down in verse 24, he says, "And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink." Instead of a girdle, a rent. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. And instead of stomacher, a grinding of sackcloth. In other words, all that pretension and all that, "Oh, look at me, I'm, you know," is a stench in the nostrils of God.
Folks, Larry, that's great. That's great, Larry.
Have sat in church my entire life and have never been taught that from the pulpit, that message.
Because it doesn't line up with American Christianity, does it, Roger? Phinehas rose up. Everybody else was watching and talking about it, and they were probably in church and mumbling and pointing the finger at us. "Oh, can you believe that? Can you believe that?" And Phinehas said, "I had enough of this stuff." He jumped up and he grabbed a javelin and went in and he ran them both through. And the Lord said, "That's my man." See, it doesn't line up with modern American Christianity, does it?
Dave.
See, abortion will end when we start smelling it. Go ahead. Is that Rich? Come on in.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right.
You spoke a word a minute ago that hit me right between the eyes, and that's the word sanitized. I think going back to the seminaries, They have sanitized the gospel. They've made this a profession and not a calling. So that I think we just weaken the gospel that way, and that's I think why we don't see the power, and then why they don't like.
Well, Rich, I keep coming back to Matt Tice. Matt Tice taught me a lesson here about 3 years ago, right here in the queue, just like this. He's talked about the way we reverse the first commandment with the second commandment. We don't honor God. We don't want to say the truth to people because we don't want to offend people. We put the second commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind. The second commandment's like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. We love our neighbors more than we love God. He wants this stuff stopped. And we won't stop it because we don't want to offend our neighbor. There may be a woman sitting beside us in church who had an abortion, and she doesn't want anybody to know it. And because our pastors don't want to cause any type of discomfort in the church, they love their neighbor more than they love the Lord. Phineas loved the Lord more than he loved his neighbor.
You know, the comment on seminaries, the mere existence of seminaries is anti-God, because the word is very clear. It says you have no need that man teach you. The Spirit will teach you. And these men decided, no, we gotta get a school to teach people. We can't count on the Spirit to do it right. The mere existence of seminaries is evil.
Well, Larry, I'm gonna disagree in just a little bit. And I agree with you about the seminaries. But Larry, there are a lot of men now who are pastoring churches who didn't go to seminary. Now, maybe they're feeding off of the teachings of the seminary, but the what would you call it? The byproduct of it?
Coach, if I may.
Yeah, Dale. Did you go to seminary, Dale?
I went to three different schools and left and dropped out of three different schools because they tried to box in God to their doctrine of belief.
Okay, cool. So like Baptists have seminary, Methodists have seminary, but there are a lot of non-denominational pastors who didn't go to seminary. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah. And so saying that, what really is, and we do see that there was the teaching in the prophet school in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, brother, here's the revelation. Paul said, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. It's about spiritual fathers in the Lord. That's where I glean from Flip and from Rusty and from Bill Shanks and from you, brothers, mm-hmm. because we sit underneath that and we become the fruit of the vine in which we draw from. The schools, even the non-denominational, there's good teaching there, but if you're going there and you're going to get boxed in, and that's what was me. I was a 4.0 student at a couple of these schools. But, brother, when they begin to try to tell me that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not of God or this or that, mm-hmm. brother, I'm like, dude, you are so in error, you know, and so I had to leave.
So, you know, I was 19 years studying the Bible with the Holy Spirit as my teacher before the Holy Spirit released me to go get a degree from a Bible college and stuff to use as a tool to open doors. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that at least two-thirds of the crap they tried to teach me at Bible college was unbiblical. It was twisted and turned to the point that it was not recognizable as being truth.
Okay, Larry, so the point I was making, not that the seminaries are bad, they are, but there are a lot of guys who really are in the pulpit who have no seminary training, and I'm not saying that's bad. I don't have any seminary training, but they have got modern American evangelifish training, unfortunately, right? Now they get their degrees from the School of the Spirit and all of this fluffy stuff out there. And we see antinomianism, meaning against the law, and, by the way, the punishment of those who violate the law. The punishment of those who violate the law isn't even discussed in our churches anymore. Phineas grabbed a spear and went in where they were at making whatever and ran them both through with it. And God said, that's my man.
Well, he said, that's my man to John the Baptist too. It's a thread that flows through scripture.
It is, brother. It is.
Hey coach, could I put a comment in and try? Okay. If you go back to two chapters before, and you discussed it about a month ago, the talking donkey, Remember, yes. Baum and Bollock? Yep. And the thing was, is curses could not come against the nation of Israel. But the outcome was, if you put those women on the other side of the river, put the men over there, sooner or later, they will infiltrate into your system, mm-hmm. and it will take you down. So this is the outcome of that story of the donkey. And how does it portray to America? Well, when we started tearing across the family, we started allowing abortion, and we started denying God, we opened the door for infiltration into the providence of God over America. And now God has taken his hand of providence, where he covered our stupid mistakes throughout the last 200 years, and now we're on our own.
And now
we have a plague, which is what you were referencing. Those are parts of the things that God allows when you do what we've done as a country and as a nation, as a church, as individuals.
Well, you know, Craig, it's like this. There's a commercial here in the Columbus, Ohio area of a dentist. If I'm listening to the Rush Limbaugh show or something, every once in a while they go to a commercial and I'll hear from this dentist, and they talk about the best part about their dental office is they have a non-judgmental approach. Now, I'm listening to this thinking, non-judgmental approach about your teeth? You mean to tell me we've now stooped to the place where if you tell somebody something about their oral health, it's now judgmental? And so Here's what we have in churches. We have the exact same thing. Come to our church. We are non-judgmental here. We're non-judgmental, right? Folks, it is the world. The world has crept right in. It is the fear of God that drives us to repentance. The fear of God. But we have a non-judgmental approach. Everybody, welcome. Right? Open hearts, open minds, open doors. Everybody come.
Coach, back to that scripture, and I put it in the thing. It's 1 Corinthians 4:15. It not only does it say you have many, it says you have thousands or tens of thousands of instructors, but few spiritual fathers. Brother, there's a difference between a spiritual father and a teacher at a college. Hmm. A teacher at a college does not get involved. Do you hear what I'm saying? Morally, in your life, brother, you become the stick man with a big head. That's what you become. But you are not taught, because a spiritual father corrects the moralness of a person. And brother, that's what we're lacking, because it's not intimate. It's not relational. It's, I go on Sunday and I'm gone. There's no follow-up. There's no relationship in the church.
Mike, go to my Facebook page real quickly, because I put a meme up there yesterday, just before I went to bed, actually last night. It just kind of hit home with me. It should be right near there. There it is, Mike. I saw this meme right here, and I posted it. And that, for those of you who can't see,
amen.
The meme says, a good coach can change a game, but a great coach can change a life, right? And I put up there at the top, Norm Emmett, Mark Collier, Dave Klontz. In other words, great coaches I had been around who changed lives. They didn't just teach football. They changed lives. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Our pastors will not get down into the. You know why those guys were good coaches? You know why they changed lives? Because they taught the players, your performance is not acceptable. You will not get on the field if you continue to act like that. It wasn't open arms, open doors, come in here, be as you are, just come. No, 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 no. You're going to play for us, bud. You're going to be one of the 11 people we put on that field. There are certain things you're going to have to do, certain ways you're going to have to perform, and certain sacrifices you are going to have to make. And you know what happens as a result of it? Lives are changed. Is that the attitude? Do you hear that in church ever?
Coach, you could have put that as lineages could be changed. Football is nothing but a vehicle. And what you said, man, I did not see that meme, but I'm telling you, it is of the spirit, because It's the performance off the field. People come to church, they put on a show. People put on the, let's put it real. Let's put it real in these churches. If we have, if we're going to bring in what we do at home into church on Sunday morning, would that message still be, oh, we embrace everybody? Oh, so you mean like if we just all went ahead and had fornication going on inside the church during Sunday morning, because that's what's happening off the field. Does that make sense? That's what's happening off the field. They want to come to church on a Sunday morning and put on their Sunday best. They got their Sunday look on, but when they go home, right? They can't act like that on our football team either. Just like you said, your performance affects on the field.
Dale, let me tell you something. When we were coaching, we told them what they could eat. We told them everything when they were away from us, what they could eat, their sleep patterns, their drinking patterns. We told them everything. Why? Because we were after their greatest performance. We didn't make excuses for them. We said, hey, you got to stop doing that, dude. Hey, you got to get in bed. Will you get some sleep? We told him that. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I want to go back to Phinehas for just a minute in verse 11. Yep. Coach, this should be our prayer right here. How can we be like Phinehas? Look at this, Coach. It says that he turned back God's wrath from the children because he was zealous with my zeal.
Mm.
Coach, Jesus, it said about Jesus, he was consumed with the zeal of the Lord. That when he turned over the tables in the temple, that's when that verse come out. Jesus said he is consumed with the zeal of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Coach, we need to pray, God, give me your zeal. Give me your zeal.
Mm, give me your zeal.
It's the heart of God, Coach.
Randy?
It's the emotions of God, basically, coming into us and us being God here on the earth, what he would do in a situation. That is what the zeal is, and that's what it's for, Coach, and we need to have that.
So, Randy, when you went to Chappaqua and you went back and you put your feet and your hands on that gate, it was the zeal of the Lord. You couldn't get away from it, right, Randy? You had heard, and you wanted to be obedient no matter what it cost you. You had to do it. The zeal of the Lord told you to.
You had to be obedient to Coach. Do you remember when I told you that? I was shaking. I was like, Coach, I have to go back. I cannot pass up this opportunity. And you saw that and you said, go, Coach. That's what it, when it hits you, when that zeal hits you, when you're at the abortion clinic, you may stand up and preach the gospel like you've never preached it. I don't know what it'll look like in every person, but when it hits you, you can't stop, not do what God is telling you to do.
No,
and that we need that zeal, Coach.
Amen.
So, Coach, that the analogy right there is exactly it. Football teaches life experience. You're coaching in spiritualness. What Randy has came to the table. He already had spiritual knowledge. But brother, you put him in a life game, life changing situation. Football fields prepare us for real life battles. Brother, you could have looked at your football team. You got many teachers inside that building, but I've become your spiritual father on this football field.
You know, zeal is one of the things that the 2 Corinthians chapter 7 identifies as accompanying godly repentance. Mm. If you don't have zeal in your life, you probably haven't repented.
Larry, if you have an abortion and you're not doing everything you can to prevent others from having it, then the zeal of the Lord isn't in you. Come on in, Jeff.
I had a unique story happen yesterday as you're talking about this. It kind of ties in. And you know, everybody's coming in and out of my car lot, buying them stupid Trump flags and Trump hats. I mean, it's rocking right now with that. So this guy walks in. I thought he looked familiar. Big, tall, skinny guy, 74 years old or so. Starts talking. And he's against this Black Lives Matter and the corruption, the burning of buildings and all this stuff. Now, you'll understand where I'm going with this. I kept looking at him and I thought, man, he looks like a twin to this guy. So we talk a little more, and I actually got some scripture out and how we ought to behave. And I don't have to behave that no more, running from cops, being in the courthouse. I looked at him. He said, what is your name? He said, last name's Eister. I looked at him. You know Judge Eister here in town?
Oh, yeah.
I looked at him. Now, he's been on that court for 40 years. I said, Judge, I said, Mr. Eister, I got to tell you, I have never seen you since the day I was in your courtroom probably 30 years ago. I said, I use this story over and over and over again in my testimony. you looked at me, and he's grinning. He didn't really remember me. He said, but you looked at me and you told me, Mr. Klein, you are a menace to this society. If I see you in my courtroom one more time, you're going up the river minimum 1 year. I promise you. I said, Judge, that stuck with me. And I have used that story. At the time, I didn't like you at all. I said, but I used that story over. And he looked at me, he said, and I got goosebumps. It was funny. And I told him, I said, I ran for school board. I ran for county commission. And he looked at me, he goes, oh, I know you. I said, yeah. I said, I use that all the time. Mm. I said, I just want to say thank you for at least saying that to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he said, thank you for sharing the story.
Folks, listen, listen. The zeal of the Lord hath spoken it. Yesterday, last night, Abby Johnson introduced to the world what abortion really is. And if you're out there and you've engaged in abortion in your own life, and you are afraid to share that with others, then you're not really delivered of it. You're not really delivered of it. And the zeal of the Lord would rise up and end abortion if those of us who have been through that experience would share it with others, the truth, overcome by the blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony, and love not your own life, even to the point of death. The zeal of the Lord hath spoken it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.